And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths into our lives. First, oh my, something unique happened to the people at Ephesus, the people who worshiped the great Artemis. Something so weird that in truth, if it happened today, people would worship the same way. Do you hear me? What? What could we possibly be talking about? What could Satan possibly use to throw a wrench into everybody's theology and focus the world on worshiping something other than God? We will explore this. And next, as we dive into this experience that took place at Ephesus, we find out that one of the leaders had a better perspective on how to approach the people's faith and religious mindsets than the church did. It's hard to believe this insight can come from an unbelieving mayor 2,000 years ago. But guess what? Luke 6:18 states, "For the children of the world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Ouch. And finally, as I'm apt to do, I would like to point out a brilliant principle laid out in Scripture relating to standing for the truth. In this text, the mayor of Ephesus makes it clear, in a very real sense, the apostle, the disciples, and the Christians did not speak out against the great Artemis. That's important because he recognized it wasn't an attack on what they believed as much as a promotion of what the disciples believed. The key is that sometimes, like I said before, we need to speak for something and not against something.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Wow. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you already know it's not professional radio. It's just radio. Two cans and a string. But we want to hear from you. So here's how it goes. You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated for something you do. Isn't it nice to be appreciated? It is nice, isn't it? It's just nice. Oh, nice job. Nice play there. Very good. I give you the golf clap.
We need to add the golf clap. That would be a good one for one of the sounders for your jokes.
Right. Golf clap.
Not good enough for a laugh, but I'll give you a golf clap there.
There you go. All right. Excellent job. Here you got to go now. Maybe you've got a prayer request. You know what? Bring it. Just bring it. We'll pray. What will happen? I don't. The Lord's in charge. We pray because we ask God to do things. Do I believe he can do it? I believe God can do anything. People are like, oh, you're telling me that God can make a rock that he cannot lift? No, that's one thing he can't do because he's omniscient and omnipotent, which means he's all powerful. So he can't really make a rock he can't lift because he's all powerful. So no, that's a stupid question. But here is the real question. Do you got something we need to pray for? Tell me. Let's pray. stake my faith, your faith, everybody's faith. Let's put it together. Lift it up to the Lord. When God says yes to a prayer request, the universe changes. Let's change your universe. How about that? Additionally, maybe you've got a praise report. You want to share something that's going on. We had a great praise report the other day from Roslyn, finding out she's cancer-free, moving forward. We love that. And everybody is encouraged when they hear that. They're just blessed. If you got something the Lord's blessed you in or something he's done great for you, share it. Other people will be blessed. They won't be jealous. They won't be mad. They won't be comparing themselves. We just taught about not comparing yourself. They'll just be thinking God does stuff still today. Isn't that great? That's what they'll think. So maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you've got a praise report. Maybe you've got something you want to share. It's not a kvetch fest. I understand. There's a lot of stuff to kvetch about, isn't there? There sure is. Although being exceedingly hot is probably not the one of them that you want to operate in. Just to let you know. It's been a little nicer in the weather from my perspective. Anyhow, we also do trivia. Why? Because it's fun. It keeps us going, keeps our brain going. Jesus was circumcised at what age? 12 years, 2 months, or 8 days. How old was Jesus when he was circumcised? It is in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. The verses are the 20s. I'll give you that much. Jesus was circumcised at what age? 12 years, 2 months, or 8 days? That is the question. If you think you know the answer, by the way, you can call 972-445-0770 because it's a phone, and that's what it does. You can call it. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. It's a straightforward question, nothing really bizarre here. Jesus was circumcised at what age? Was it 12 years, 2 months, or 8 days? We do have somebody ready for a phone call. We will send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. A little tired. You know, got a little bit of windy, little fried in my energy level, but that's all right. I'm going to the doctor tomorrow for my normal work, so if there's something missing, I'm sure he'll catch it. That's what I'm thinking. How are you feeling? About the same?
About the same.
All right. Well, that's why we keep praying, brother. I was praying for you earlier this morning, hoping you would call in. So let's do it. First, let's do the trivia question, then we'll take care of the rest of it. Jesus was circumcised at what age? 12 years, 2 months, or 8 days?
8 days.
That is correct, Domingo! 8 days later, exactly. That's right. And fulfilling the law, doing their best. That's, of course, when they were in the temple. And Simeon and I forgot her name. The other gal that came up and prophesied mentioned them. And what a great experience for the mom to remember that there's great things ahead for the kid, but also tough things ahead for the kid. That was really kind of interesting how she pondered those things in her heart. Love that. All right, I want to pray for you. I want the Lord to bless you, but I want him to heal you. So let's do it. You ready?
Okay.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. I lift up my brother Gary. Lord, I just think of you. I think of Luke chapter 5, verse 13. And the leper just said, you know, you can if you're willing. And you said you're willing. So we ask you to be willing to heal Gary. Because you have to do that, Lord. We can't force you. We can believe you and believe you can do anything. And we ask you to do it for our brother. And we ask you to do it so that he can rejoice and so that we can rejoice with him. Please bring healing into Gary's body. Not a little, all of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, and I'll continue to pray for all of you, and God bless you.
Thank you, bro. Love you, man. God bless. Bye-bye. All right, here we go. So, you know, I just want people to know that's what you do. You just keep praying. I was just thinking, that just talking about to the Lord the other day. You know what you do? You just keep praying. You don't quit. And you know what's amazing? I'm going to get to this after we do the DNA. I'm going to share something that happened today with me and the Lord, okay? I can't read it. You got to tell me what it says.
We're also giving away tickets.
Oh, yeah. We're also giving away tickets. You know what? So get a darker marker because that was like red on white, and I couldn't even see it. It's like, yeah, let's do that. All right, don't forget we have tickets. The Tulsa Golden Hurricanes are playing football against the SMU Mustangs on October 28th. So that's the SMU football team, right? And you get 4 tickets and a parking pass free. I mean, that's a smoking deal. You can't just pick that up anywhere. You can pick it up here during this show. So that is a smoking opportunity. If you want those tickets, there's 3 ways to get a hold of us. You can email david@hemustincrease.org. You can text the 214-210-8483. Or you can call in to the 972-445-0770. The only thing you have to answer is, what's the name of this show? See, that's a good one. Because sometimes I forget. What's the name of the show? What is it? I don't know. Okay. What is it?
And when you call in, I usually say the name of the show when I answer.
Yeah. So. Oh, that might help you too. So if you're interested in the tickets, take advantage. Otherwise, we're going to have to just give them away to the first person that walks by the studio. So you might as well take advantage of the situation. That's that. The other thing I want to talk to you about is the DNA, which is legendarily important in our lives, and we're going to do that right now. D, so DNA building blocks. D is the first. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Look in Luke chapter 5. It says Jesus withdrew himself frequently from everybody. Frequently, which means he spent a lot of time in communion with the Father and with the Spirit. It's just so cool. It's so cool. Every day, spend some time with the Lord. Again, not a legalistic amount of time, just time. Then N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. As you know, even now, with the thing going on with Israel, people are like, aren't you ashamed of what the Bible says? Absolutely not. I love what God loves. I love who God loves. I hate what God hates. That's how it goes. You don't like it? Don't be a Christian. You think, gosh, that's so mean. I didn't write it. I didn't come along. David Spoon came along in the beginning of the turn of the century in the 60s and said, I'm going to change everybody's thinking. This is 2,000 years old. The Lord's saying the same message. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Might not like it, but that's what he said. Then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, which means other people matter, which means got to put them on your radar. Got to put other people on there. I know everybody has to concentrate on some of the things they're going through. I don't disagree with that at all. In fact, I highly agree with that. But when we get so over-focused on ourselves, we're tearing away at our own lives, not giving a chance for the grace and mercy of God to flow through us for others, being a vessel, and then thereby experiencing that grace and that mercy. So don't just think about what you're going through, okay? All right. To give you an idea, Cordia, she's got Joy and Cordia, just wonderful gals. She's got a pet that's not doing very well. Hey, it's one of the hardest things to lose a close pet. Be praying for Cordia and for the pet. Why would you not do that? Of course you should do that. Of course the Lord heals. Of course the Lord is gracious. Okay? All right. Before we exit or anything, I got to share something that happened to me today. Okay? Just real simple, and then we'll exit, then we'll come back, and then we'll talk about space. All right, we'll get to that in a second. So I'm finishing my prayers today, and I think it's important for you to understand that when I pray, I don't pray what's the word I'm looking for? I am me when I pray. I am not anything else. I'm not anybody else. I am me. And if you think that what I do on this show has any kind of edge to it at all, you're nutty cuckoo. I mean, my edge is much, much sharper. It's much worse. Okay. So when I talk to the Lord, there's almost no restriction on everything and anything, because I figure he already knows and there's no point in trying to dodge it, you know, if I'm going through that. So I just tell him what I'm thinking. And so compartmentalizing how I didn't like certain things. At least I'm being honest. And I said, you know, if it was, you know, I mean, I wish this situation was this and this situation was this, right? And I'm talking to the Lord just like I'm talking to you right now. When I'm sharing, you know, my angst and my scenario, and the Lord, like I should forget this, right? Which is amazing. Reminds me of Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Just the first part, nothing else, just kind of reminding me, right? And the very beginning of that text says, don't worry about tomorrow. Now, let me explain something to you. There was nobody better in the universe who taught day by day than Jesus. There's just nobody. He just taught it so clearly. And by the Lord saying to me, don't worry about tomorrow, it's almost as though he's saying, stop fretting about stuff that hasn't happened and that you don't know what's going to happen between now and then. Why don't you just concentrate on what's going on now? And it's like, hey, yeah, I could probably do that. So then after that happened, I'm just telling you what happened in prayer. Then I said, okay, I'm sorry. Because that's how I felt. Like, oh, man, I can't believe I did that. Because I can, just like everybody else, look down the road and say, what about this? Or what about around that corner? You know what? I don't know what's around the corner. But I should know and do know who is around the corner. And he is caught, never caught by surprise. He is already waiting for me. So a little bit of trust and a little bit of honor gives you a little bit of relief from the insanity of humanity. Get it? All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. This is from our good friend, Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now, I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying. This is in the last month, and I even wrote it down in my little journal, how I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes, and I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses, and he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter, even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready for your next trivia question. A good one. On which mountain did Moses receive the two tablets of testimony? Was it Sinai, Ararat, or Carmel? Sinai, Ararat, or Carmel? Which mountain did Moses receive the two tablets? Not two tablets like aspirin, thank you. Okay? Okay. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, I have to do this. There are just two jokes. One's very fast and one's longer. The first one's very cute, like two or three lines. The next one's like two paragraphs. But it's genius. So here's joke number one. For those that don't like the joke portion, change the channel. Here's the first one. The Sunday school teacher had just finished the lesson. She had taught the portion of the Bible that told of how Lot's wife looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. Jeremy raised his hands and said, "My mommy looked back one time when she was driving, and she turned into a telephone pole."
Why are you the way that you are? Honestly, every time I try to do something fun or exciting, you make it not that way.
I love it! That was a great play. Where'd you get that?
I had it the other day.
That's hilarious. All right, that's a good one. And then here's this other one. Now, this one, if you guys don't like this joke, again, I just got nothing. This is a little longer, but just bear with me, okay? A little boy came home with his parents from church one Sunday. He seemed a bit down, so his mother asked him if something happened in Sunday school class that he'd like to talk about. He told his mother, "We were singing songs, and the teacher made us sing about a poor bear named Gladly that needed glasses. I just can't stop thinking of him." She said he was a cross-eyed bear. I felt bad for him. The mother couldn't understand why the teacher would teach such a song in Sunday school, so she decided to call her. To the mother's amazement, the teacher said she only taught hymns that morning. Then the teacher began laughing out loud. "I know what Jeffrey's talking about. We talked about the hymn, Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear."
What do you want from me? I'm not a comedy writer.
There you go. Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. See? Okay. Gladly the Cross-Eyed Bear. Did you guys get that? The cross-eyed bear. Did you like that joke? That was pretty good, right? Gladly the cross-eyed bear?
It was all right. It was all right.
I liked it more than you did. All right, who's ready? Somebody's ready to chat with us, give an answer to a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Tyler from Texas.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, doing well. Just spoke to you yesterday. I got an answer for this trivia today.
All right, here you go. You ready for this one? All right. On which mountain did Moses receive two tablets of testimony? Was it Sinai, Ararat, or Carmel?
It's going to go Sinai.
That is correct, Amundo! Exodus 34:29. You got it! Yes! Mount Sinai, that's right.
Great job.
It's not just a hospital in California, is it? So there you go. It's Mount Sinai. That's right. Excellent.
Yes, sir. Not like the drug that the Hamas needs to take, cyanide.
There you go. Gotcha. That's great, man. Great job today. Thank you for calling in, bro.
Yes, sir. Hey, good luck.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. Let's see what we got going on. So, now, you got that. So, Sinai. Okay, there you go. Sinai. That'd be Exodus 34:29. Did you guys get that? All right, so I got a conundrum. You know what my conundrum is? I can't go as long as I want to go because I only have like 4 or 5 minutes. And so, I'm going to have to start this teaching and then stop like midway and then come back to it. You're going to hear something you haven't heard. Maybe ever. I don't know. Some of you haven't heard it. All right. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. What are we at? Verse 35. where verse 35, remember the people are all freaking out, the mob, blah, blah. There was like going, oh, greatest Artemis, going through that whole thing. Here we have verse 35. At last, the mayor was able to quiet them down enough to speak. Citizens of Ephesus, he said, everyone knows that Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of the great Artemis, whose image fell down to us from heaven. Stop. Stop. Everyone knows that Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of the great Artemis, whose image fell down to us from heaven. This is 2,000 years ago. What happened 2,000 years ago that made it so that Ephesus was the great temple, the home plate or home base of the great Artemis, while an image fell down from heaven? You're thinking, well, what kind of image? Well, here, let me help you out. It wasn't a raindrop. It wasn't snow. It was some kind of formation. What did they make idols out of? Gold and rocks and things like that. Something fell from the sky. What did they do? They made a god out of it. Now, I'll be able to do it in time. Now, before you get too weird on me, don't take this as the gospel. I'm just dropping in this scenario into our scenario, right? No way there's a unifying element. But if somebody, quote-unquote, comes from heaven or falls from the sky and somehow has cures for everything and can bring peace amongst humanity, wouldn't that person be worshipped? Well, that couldn't happen. It happened 2,000 years ago with a piece of rock. And the rock fell from the sky and they worshipped it. What happens if something else falls from the sky? Well, that could never happen. It happened 2,000 years ago. What do you mean it could never happen? And this image that fell, then Ephesus became the guardianship for this image that fell down from heaven. For them, heaven is the skies. And we're not talking about an airplane that's, you know, trying to lighten the load. We're talking about something that came from, was it a meteor? Probably. I don't know. I don't know how the Lord allowed that, or who got permission to do what, or if somebody made it up, I don't know. But they believed that it fell from the sky, and they worshipped it. The only reason I bring that up is because you really want to drop a nugget into everybody's theology and ruin everybody's eschatology. I'm just saying, somebody comes from the sky, partly human, so they'd still be the man of lawlessness, right? You can't get away from that. And what if he's like, I've been all around the galaxy? You don't know. You don't know. All I'm trying to show you is how quick the shift to worship and to make a god out of somebody or something happens. I mean, this is something that fell from the sky, and they thought this was their god? So then I would just ask you this. What can Satan possibly use to throw a wrench in everybody's theology and focus the world on worshiping something or someone other than God? He can't leave the earth except for access to heaven, which God granted him on a limited basis, maybe still does, which something is an argument of theology. But he can't go travel to Pluto or something else, but he's got control on the earth. He could drop something from the sky and have people go, wow, what is it? Or wow, who is it? How would that mess up everybody's theology? You thinking, that's crazy. You bet. Take something crazy like that to flip the entire world around, doesn't it? Then why would it surprise any of us? Anybody or anything comes and is declared as God outside of it being Jesus Christ is not God, period. But that doesn't mean people won't believe it. Better be ready for that. That's all I'm saying. We'll take our break and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the True Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it, okay? That's faith, okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced because God requires faith to us to engage with him in. That's his requirement. That's the vehicle by which he has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? But he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, the first thing he says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line. Just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing and looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for you next. Trivia question. When Jesus resurrected Jairus' daughter, how old was she? Was she 9 years old, 13 years old, or 12 years old? When Jesus resurrected Jairus' daughter, how old was she? 9 years old, 13 years old, or 12 years old? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Good hint on that would be it was the same amount of time that the woman had the issue with blood, which is probably not an accident. Just to let you know that. Going to send you up to the website as we often do. Here's the bottom line. We can use some do-re-mi. You want a receipt? You get one. Yeah, want to give extra? Great. You don't want to give? Totally awesome. We still need the money. So if you can give, help us out. Check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
Jacob, there's no basement at the Alamo.
There's not?
No, there's not. There's not. I'm just to let you know. Oh, I just love that clip. All right, anyway, see, this is what I love about Jennifer, is she has that same part of her has that same sense of humor that I have. It's just like, that's what makes it work. All right, so anyhow, trivia question is, when Jesus resurrected Jairus' daughter, how old was she? Was she 9, 13, or 12 years old? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, as well send an email to David at hemustincrease.org. We're going to do a history in about a split second. I do want to let you guys know a couple of things. 2 weeks from today, I'm having a minor procedure. When I say minor, I mean minor. How minor? Minor, okay, like small. It's an in-office procedure, but it'll make me, like, when I get here, it'll be like I'll be running to get in and get everything done. Just that same thing on my head that grew back again. When they said it wouldn't grow back again, wrong. Anyhow, that grew back again, so I got to get rid of that. Plus, I'm meeting with the doctor tomorrow. Everything seems to be fine, but I'm getting some blood work done to make sure everything is a-okey-dokey. And I think I've done pretty well. I'm close to have losing 40 pounds. Close. Not there, but close. So, but I still got a ways to go because I've got a new goal in mind. So there you go. All right, so we do have somebody who's ready to answer the trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello? Knock, knock.
Hello. Brother Roger again.
Hey, Roger again. How are you?
Better than I deserve.
Say it again, brother. Say it again.
Better than I deserve.
That's it, right there. You see what's great about that, Roger, again? That is exactly right. Better than any of us deserve. That is how we're doing. We're lucky to be living, let alone doing, right? All right. You ready for the triv?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. When Jesus is resurrected Jairus' daughter, how old was she? Was she 9, 13, or 12 years old?
I think it's 13.
Okay, but if she wasn't 13, what would be your second guess?
12.
That's correct, Amundo!
I was only a year off.
Only a year off. That's not too bad. And the woman who had the issue of blood, she also had that issue of blood for 12 years, and this girl was 12 years old. I always found that a fascinating connection, personally.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I just wanted to talk to you and let you know Oakley's fever did break. So that's a blessing.
Amen. Amen. That is a big blessing. Praise the Lord for that. That's great news. The fever broke.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we're just rejoicing in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's so good, brother. I'm very, very happy for you. I'm very happy for the family, but I'm rejoicing with you for them.
Right. And the other day you were talking about faith today. And the other day when I did call, we talked about faith comes by hearing the word of God. And faith also is about the only thing that pleases God. So if you can keep the faith, but what do you keep the faith in? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So that's what. I mean, it's a good subject today. We all need a fresh reminder. I also wanted to say something about religion.
Okay.
And I'm going to finally tell you what my religion is.
Okay.
It's my relationship.
That's right. That's right. It's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the thing that people miss. Typically, religion is defined as a set of rules or a set of this or a set of this. But the Christian walk is a living relationship with a living God made possible through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's like, yeah, that. I want that.
And I like what you said about being yourself when you pray. At our church, our pastor calls it, let's just talk to God.
There you go. That's it. That's it.
Let's just talk to him.
Let's just talk to him.
Just talk to him. Talk to him. He's up there listening. He's interested. He's wondering. Well, and then sometimes he wonders, hey, how come you ain't been talking to me? You know? So he gets your attention.
That's right.
You know?
Good job.
But anyway, I just wanted to give you the praise report. I'm sorry, first answer was wrong. Second answer is right. But here again comes my name. Try again.
There you go. That's why you call Roger again, because you try again.
try again.
Amen.
And that's in life, period, you know. If you mess up, try again.
That's right. Seven times a righteous man falls, and seven times he gets back up.
Right.
That's it right there, brother. Good job, brother.
All right. Well, you guys have a great day. I'm probably going to go back to work, so I'll have to quit listening and hearing in about 5 minutes. But God bless you anyway.
All right, brother. God bless. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. That's Roger again. What a blessing. He's just so fun when he calls in. Now, isn't it fun? All right. Okay. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shift it around. Is that okay? Yeah. See, Jacob's with these. So here's what we do. We're going to exit here early. Then we'll come back. Kind of like just exit. What are we, about a minute off? Yeah, that's fine. Well, we're going to take our break and then come back. But you better get ready, because this next teaching, mind-blowing. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Here is a DDD entitled Custom Eyeglasses Used on Others. Custom eyeglasses used on others. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. Stop. There it is. So Saul watched David jealously from that day forward. How do we see people in our lives? Saul saw David through jealous glasses. He put on these glasses. They weren't the ones from the Lord, right? They were glasses that had much more flesh in them, and then everything was tainted. This is what happens to you and I, and let's just do the honest, you know, those honest moments where we put on our glasses regarding some people, because almost every time we get a communication from them, there's just something coming that's just low. This is going to be lousy. I haven't even opened it. I'm already dreading it, right? Have you ever gone through that? Right? Or every time this person texts me, I'm not smiling after I read it, or something along those lines. And it could be somebody who, you know, has got a spirit of complaining. It could be somebody that's got a spirit of pride. It could be any of those things, right? And you're just like going, oy vey, right? But you're not saying it much, but you know how you're seeing it. And that's custom glasses. You've already put the glasses on. You've already determined how it's going to be. You're already seeing it through that slant. It's not that they've never done anything. It's just that you and I tend to stay in those zones and see people that way. And so no matter what was going to happen with Saul and King Saul and David, David was going to impute evil motives to Saul's actions. I've gone through this with a professor. I'm just confessing. Right? I had a professor before we started the radio show, and my buddy in the process was a pastor, was my like a schoolmate, and he would write me and go, why does she, you know, jump on you like that? I mean, he was asking me, right? And I'm like, every time this statement, I just instead of having any kind of change of heart or mercy, I was mad. But my anger did not work the righteousness of God. And sometimes people do that because of other reasons. It's not because of you. and we need to do a better job of not wearing custom glasses where we see the downside on people. So the question to ask is, what kind of glasses do we use with others, and are those glasses approved prescription glasses from God? Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Which disciple said to Jesus, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied"? One of the 12, not Peter, James, and John. So now you got 9 you have to pick from. Which of the disciples said to Jesus, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied"? Your only hint, John chapter 14. That's a pretty good hint, by the way. I just want to point that out. So I'll just say, okay. If you think you know the answer to that question, you can simply call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So 12 disciples, right? Not Peter, James, or John. So down to 9. Which of those 9 said to Jesus, "Show us the Father and it will suffice for us," or "be sufficient"? And your answer is in John 14. Okay? I can't give you any more than that. That's giving you a lot, actually. I just want to point that out to you. Okay, if you think you know, great. In the meantime, we are still, nice recovery, Aunt Deb, we are still going to do our history. So let's do history real quick.
Let's go live faith in the past. Let's go live faith in the past.
All right, today is Informational Overload Awareness Day.
Alrighty then.
Well, first of all, that's a lot. just saying that is a lot. I mean, informational overload, knowledgeable, get ready, you got to understand it, awareness day. Like, what? And then second of all, I just don't care. So
who makes these days? That's what I've always
wondered.
There
is a group of people, and there's like 7 websites, and they all share with one another. It's really quite funny, and some of it is interesting, and some of it is not interesting. Right there, I'm going not. I'm going to go with a not interesting. That's what I'm going with.
At that point in the day, it was late in the day.
Yeah,
they were out of ideas.
Let's just finish this off, please. Yep. Right. Remember this the other day? We were talking about Dress Gaudy Day. Today is also Dress Like a Dork Day, which is like, it's the same thing. It's like you wake up, you spend the day. What are you supposed to do? Run home and change what you wear? Besides, I look like a dork every day, so I don't really care about that. That doesn't matter. It just makes it easy for me. All right, listen to this, though. There are 2 really good ones here, okay? 1985 on this day, the first Blockbuster Video opened in Dallas, Texas. What? The first Blockbuster Video store opened in Dallas, Texas. That's amazing, right? I think that's amazing. And then this is one of my favorite things on the history part, just to let you know, okay? This is in 1860. This is real history, nothing weird. This is actually one of the good things, right? Abraham Lincoln grows a beard. Future United States President Abraham Lincoln writes back to an 11-year-old girl. She wrote a letter suggesting he should grow a beard. He stated it would be silly to start growing one, but he did it anyway, and now he's well known for his beard. It's like the 11-year-old nailing it. She must have been like a social media savant way ahead of her time in 1860. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Is that right? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yes, that's Jacob Neufeld here.
I'm sorry, what's your name?
Jacob.
Hi, Jacob. How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome. Great. You ready for the triv? You ready to answer it?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. Which disciple said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and it will be satisfied. It'll suffice for us"? Which disciple said that?
Thomas.
Okay. Now, if it wasn't Thomas, and you were going to use a screwdriver, what kind of screwdriver might you use for that?
Oh, wow.
Wait. If it's not a regular, what's the other kind of screwdriver? The one that has all the the round thing, or the not the straight blade, but the other one. It's a Phillips screwdriver. Yes, a Phillips screwdriver. That's correct. That's the answer, Philip.
All righty. Well, I thought it was Thomas, but yeah.
No problem, though. That's what he says. Show us the Father. We'll be satisfied. John 14:8-18. It was Philip. But it was a great job, and I'm glad you called in. Where are you calling in from?
Alberta, Canada.
That's a long way away. That's pretty good.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Right. Yes, I do listen to your show, and I love it. I mean, that's really good.
I appreciate that, bro. Thank you very much. Call in anytime. If you're not sure or if you're sure, call in. We'll get you there.
All righty. Thank you.
All right. God bless you.
Yeah, thanks. Same to you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Awesome. Don't get a lot of calls from Canada. You got to like that, right? All right. All right, we did history, did this. Listen to this last section, okay? Because I only got, what, five? I got 5-6 minutes? All right, let me finish this, all right? Listen, this is really good. So listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to do my best to kind of bring it together, so don't get too, stay with me. Stay with me on this one, okay? So this is after they talk about Artemis, the image that fell from heaven. Verse 36 in Acts 19 says this, "Since this is an indisputable fact," which is amazing that he said that, "you shouldn't be disturbed no matter what is said. Don't do anything rash. You have brought these men here, but they have stolen nothing from the temple, and they have not spoken against our goddess. If Demetrius and the craftsmen have a case against them, the courts are in session, and the judges can take the case at once. Let them go through the legal channels." This is what I want you to catch out of this. This mayor, 2,000 years ago, okay, even though he's buying into the thing that fell from heaven, you know, as a god, right? So we'll just, or a goddess, we'll just move on to that, right? He says something amazing. He says they haven't stolen anything from the temple, and they haven't spoken anything against the goddess. Why is that amazing? Because this mayor from 2,000 years ago has picked up on a truth that a lot of Christians don't always pick up on. And what is that? That it's important to recognize that he picked up on that it wasn't an attack as much as a promotion for what the disciples believed in. So the key is that sometimes we need to be speaking for something and not against it. So instead of just attacking because we don't like what we encounter, why don't we do, why don't we do a little bit more promoting of what the gospel is and of who Jesus is and what the truth is? What we do is we see something, just be honest, and we react. We like go, bleh! And depending on what you see on the news or what you hear, it's like, bleh! Right? And your hands go like turn into little like, bleh! Right? Instead of always wanting to react. I'll give Tommy Barnett was brilliant when he said this. Don't be a reactor, be an actor. In other words, don't always respond. Instead of reacting, put forth your own action. And so instead of always going to the negative side, well, this is wrong and this is wrong, declare what is right. Instead of always saying this is the problem here, show where the hope comes from. The scripture says be ready always to give a reason for the hope that is inside of you. Be ready to say it's Jesus. That's powerful. Because people already have a lot of attacking going on back and forth. Everybody's got attacking going on back and forth. Name one, one group that doesn't attack. It's ridiculous. Everybody attacks. But what these guys were doing and what the mayor caught was they're not talking about Artemis. They're not talking about the temple. They're talking about Jesus. And he's smart enough, you got to give him credit, smart enough to recognize they were promoting something, not bashing something. Wouldn't that be a brilliant strategy? Wait. Instead of telling everybody how they're just so evil and going to hell, why don't we tell them how Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior who enables us to have eternal life by yielding to his testimony, by surrendering, by repenting, by giving our heart over, by giving ourselves to him. He takes up residency in us by faith. The Holy Spirit lives in us because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God the Father's in communion with us through Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit. Then we get to live forever and dance on streets of gold. old will be free from pain, free from discomfort, free from things that are horrible, that are all over this planet, and it'll be eternity, and it'll be phenomenal, and it'll be fun and great and exciting and all. That's so much better than going, you're just going to burn. I say, what? Try the other one. See, try the other one. That's not saying it's never called for. What it is saying is that we should do a little more promoting than we are bashing. That's what it's saying. Because you know what's amazing about the Christian faith? It's phenomenal. And what we fail to do, or what I fail to do, maybe you guys do a lot better job than I do, is I fail to communicate how phenomenal it is. Because I'm too busy telling everybody what an idiot they are. Right? That's the problem. I mean, one thing I would say about Jesus, he proclaimed the truth. He didn't just go around going, jerk, 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 jerk. That's not what he did. He didn't do this. He could have. I mean, he would have had it right. But he didn't. So maybe we should be a little bit more in tune with what we need to speak for and not just against. Because, listen, dude and dudette, we're going to be dancing on streets of gold. How crazy. It's just so great. It's unbelievable. It's exactly what we should be sharing with people. It's phenomenal. It's the joy and the strength and the power and the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the compassion and the protection and the healing and the hopefulness that all comes from God. Maybe we should share that a little more and the whiny stuff a little less. I don't know. Just a thought. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22 and a half hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me. Purchase my freedom at the cost of your soul. What else can I do? The glad
views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.